The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
No need for a special introduction this week, apologising for language, because our guest is Gloria Abramoff, and you never swear, do you?
No.
Gloria is the new, well, I think you're still new, really, chief executive, aren't you, of the Radio Academy?
I haven't done my 100 days yet, so I'm still quite new, yeah.
And we're here to talk about the festival, but before we do that, where have you come from and why are you the chief executive?
Well, my background's in radio, as you know, and you and I worked together at GLR. Left there and set up the Social Action Unit for Nations and Regions. I think you and Matthew famously called me the social conscience of the radio station, which is probably why I'm here now, because the Radio Academy, people keep saying, what is the radio? I mean, what's the remit of the Radio Academy? And for me, having been a trustee for the last 6 years before I took this on, it was just really simple. It is a place where we network, celebrate, learn. And I want to make that even clearer. So I want the festival to be the best festival where you can learn and meet and negotiate and commission and pitch. I want the Academy Awards to be the best awards. I want the Hall of Fame to be brilliant. And the masterclasses, I want to really work with the branch chairs. I want to bring together, and we've already started negotiations with Student Radio Association, Community Media Association, Hospital Radio, National Prison Radio and Sound Women, to see if we can work more smartly and work together more smartly and possibly work in the same office together and share the same infrastructure. So why I'm saying this is because all those ambitions that I have are very much who I am. It's very much within my DNA. You know, it's about the next generation, it's about talent, it's about skillful negotiation, it's about working smartly together, it's about partnerships, it's about tact and diplomacy, which is probably not my greatest skill, but I'm pretty charming. So why am I doing it? Because, you know, I've done big projects that have had to negotiate with all different parts of the output. I was first creative director of Children in Need. So I have a very much a sort of Greg Dyke kind of view, which is just imagine, let's make it happen. What the hell? What the, you know, who cares? Let's just see what happens. And that's very much my spirit. It's my dream job. I'm loving it.
Okay. Now, I know from having done the job myself that the big issue always is funding. And I think, you know, I take my share of the blame for getting rid of membership and asking the patrons to pay all the money. And I think, in a sense, that made the Academy for a while drift into being something of a boss's club. What can you do to arrest that and get, you know, the grassroots of radio more involved?
Well, first of all, I think the patrons themselves need to take some responsibility in telling their membership that they are members of the Radio Academy. I wouldn't berate yourself, Trevor. I think that was actually a pretty smart move because that guaranteed funding. So at the time, that was really important. And also at the time, we didn't have the Twitter and the social media that we have now. So now it's much easier to communicate and get closer to members. So actually, you're a bit ahead of your time, really, in a weird kind of way. And I can't believe I'm actually saying that. But to answer your question, I think it's very much about doing really good events and being across the event so they're relevant.
And doing things in the regions as well.
I was going to say, and doing things in the regions. So, you know, I think, and they'll agree with this, one of the first things I did was write to the branch chairs and say, you know, thank you, can I come and talk to you, can I come meet you? I've also offered them heavily discounted rates for the radio festival because I think, you know, it's also about, you know, people give their time and it's about acknowledging their time. But also looking at the newsletter, how we communicate, and asking the patrons to act more like champions, which sometimes they don't. And they need to champion us. Oh, they need to champion the academy. It is their academy. They pay for it. They pay my salary.
And are they all on side, Glo? I mean,
no.
I had some problems with one or two groups who were kind of pretty semi-detached.
It's a challenge. I've got to work on it. I've got to draw on all my skills of chutzpah and charm and warmth But I don't doubt that I'll do it. There are some huge benefits to being part of the Radio Academy. It's the only body that brings together the whole industry. I cannot speak on behalf of the industry. It's not my role, and I wouldn't want to do that. So if there are changes in radar I'm not going to comment on that. But what I can do is bring people together to learn and talk and share and enjoy. You know, Richard Curtis is going to be at the Radio Festival. You know, how brilliant to be able to hear Richard Curtis being interviewed by his wife, Emma. I mean, it's just going to be such a joy to hear Iggy Pop do the John Peel lecture. You know, how brilliant is that? So, you know, there are some amazing things that the Academy does that gives opportunities to all people at all levels. You know, I find it very irritating that people think the Radio Academy is an old boys network. It is not an old boys network. First of all, it's being led by me at the moment, and I am so not an old boys network, as we know. You know, it's just so not me. And I just don't believe that to be the case. I think it's a perception that I've really got to challenge.
One thing that I always struggled with when I was chairing the festival was that I thought we needed an opportunity as an industry to debate things. And that doesn't always mean that you have to be adversarial. It sometimes means that if there's a subject like, I don't know, DAB, it's not a bad idea to air all the arguments. You know, and then people would say to me, some of the people who are senior in the industry, they'd say, oh, you don't want to do that because that's airing our dirty linen in public. And what the radio festival should be, they used to argue, is about showing off about how great radio is. And I think squaring that circle to me was kind of difficult.
It's not, that's just certainly not who I am, because people who know me know that I'm also incredibly open about my own failings and my own faults and my own learning. So, you know, as an individual, I'm like that. And as a professional, I was always like that. So when I was running big projects for the whole of nations and regions, I was really open about where it worked and where it didn't work. I think with certainly under Chris Burns's chairpersonship for the last 2 years, and I've worked with her for the last 2 years, we're looking more at polemic style opportunities and TED style kind of lectures. So sort of moving away from the session, you know, where three people sit there, sitting back,
death by panel,
a bit sort of laid back, and you know, waiting for their 2 or 3 minutes. We've sort of re-energized it in a way by giving people polemics. So last year, we were looking at how do we tell the local radio story. Now, we could have told the local radio story by having three people on a panel. They might have got a couple of minutes. There might be a little bit of controversy. Who knows? But what we did was we gave 10 minutes to Toby Foster from the Breakfast Show presenter at Radio Sheffield. And he was brilliant because he told the story with such passion in those 10 minutes. Were you there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He was really fantastic.
Also, like for Rig, for example, you know, rather than, you know, so how do you fit Rig into the festival? Because, you know, Rig is doing so much negotiating and leading. You know, there are so many changes going on for the indie sector. So how does Rig tell its story and how does it get its voice heard? So, you know, you don't want to put them on another panel. So, you know, we've given Jez Nelson half an hour to, you know, to present.
And this is Jez, whose company is something else. Yeah, make a lot of BBC programmes.
Yeah, and indie programmes, and they're really big on social media. And basically, I'm going round saying to people, and I did last year when I was creative director of the festival, this is your festival. It's not my festival, this is your festival. What would you like to do? I'm going to give you half an hour. What would you like in that half an hour that's entertaining, that people will learn from? There'll be takeaway moments that will be memorable. So, you know, I've asked Sir Tim Smith, who was the CEO and now I think chair of the Eden Project down in Cornwall, to come and do half an hour. And he's going to really shitbag the industry. You know, thrilling, you know, and he's going to sort of set a challenge for the industry. Shitbag is the wrong word. He's going to challenge the industry in terms of their public service remit. So I think what I'm trying to do is give the festival, A, some energy, but there is energy in the industry. You know, there's a lot of energy in the industry. So all I'm doing is just really reflecting the industry.
Okay, so we were talking the other week at Next Radio about how maybe the industry has actually stopped its navel-gazing and its hand-wringing, and we are looking forward a bit more than we have for a few years, so that's good. Okay, so I'm not sure whether I'm coming to the festival. In a couple of sentences, tell me why I should be there.
You should be at the festival because there'll be something for everybody. There'll be comedy, there'll be entertainment, there'll be politics. You know, we've got like Lise Doucette, who's the Middle East correspondent, talking about what it's been like. You know, amazing. We've got Nihal from the Asian Network talking about, you know, trying to cover Rotherham and, you know, the challenges that that posed. You know, we've got stuff on comedy podcasts. We've got Kirsty Young looking back over 70 years of Desert Island Discs and how they put that together and her moments. You know, it's an iconic, you know, it, as long as you come away thinking that was amazing, I've learned something. And every session has been designed to have a moment or to have learning so that you come out and you go, I learned something, I've met something, I can do something, I'm inspired, I'm motivated. But also, we've put in lots of fun moments. So there's lots of networking moments. We've taken away the gala dinner because I just think that's a bit dated now. It's great to start with, but a bit dated. So we've got Michael Ball, the Wrecking Ball Cabaret. So Michael Ball, who I love. Michael Ball is hosting a cabaret night on the Tuesday night. And we've got the Shires and we've got comedy and we've got cabaret and we've got music and we've got clowns and we're showcasing BBC Introducing.
Okay, so we're back at the Keys Theatre the Lowry.
Well, we're back at the Lowry. We've taken over the whole of the Lowry, but we've also taken over parts of Media City UK. So what's been great this year is that we've had a committee working on the festival, but we've also had a North Fringe Festival Committee. So we've got the Philharmonic involved. You can be a conductor for 10 minutes, which I'm going to do. We've got, you know, lots of surprises that I can't discuss yet. You can go around, tour the Media City. You can learn how to put together a radio programme if you're still new. We've got the how-to room, where we've given bursaries to student radio, community radio, hospital radio to come and, you know, learn things which we've done in conjunction with the BBC Academy and Skillset. We'd like to thank Skillset for their sponsorship. So it's a real, real mixture of things. I mean, I think it's the most exciting. I think Chris Burns and her festival committee have put together the most exciting festival today, and I've worked on them for many years.
Okay, and it's in October, date?
It's October the 13th, 14th and 15th.
Tickets still available?
Tickets are still available, going quickly, because we've made some huge announcements recently, so they are going. There are loads of different rates, so please look at the rate card. There are different rates if you're a member, non-member, if you want to come for the 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. So it's the 13th, 14th and 15th of October in Salford, with lots of big names, lots, you know, and it just covers everything that radio covers, you know, entertainment, music, comedy, politics, current affairs, history, you know, the lot.
Well, I wish you every success.
Thank you.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, you're coming.
Gloria Abramoff, Chief Executive of the Radio Academy. This is the Radio Today programme. Let's take some news now with Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. RT in Dublin has announced the end of transmissions on 252 Longwave. The historic home of Atlantic 252 has been carrying the programmes of Radio 1 for the last decade, but now the company wants to concentrate on FM and digital transmissions. The shortlist is out for BBC Local Radio Awards, with 20 of them receiving nominations. 20 stations, that is. The Station of the Year category is between Cambridgeshire, Gloucestershire and BBC WM. Good luck to everybody. And it all kicked off on Twitter the other night when Steve Penk said the videos being made by Chris Moyles were rubbish and about 2 years too late. See the video and some of the comments made on radiotoday.co.uk. That's the very latest. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today. David Lloyd,
Radio Moments. We start this week 30 years ago and Tony Blackburn's final Radio 1 show after 17 years.
So it is the end of this era for Radio 1 and the start of a brand new era. I'd like to say thank you very much indeed for listening in, and I look forward to seeing you again very, very soon indeed. Who knows where it might be. But right now I'd like to close my final record on Radio 1, the record that I opened up the station with 17 years ago. The Move, Flowers in the Rain. Thank you very much for listening. Look after yourselves. I love you all.
Tony Blackburn, and as he uttered those words this week in 84, I suspect he thought he might never be back on BBC National Radio. Another Radio 1 farewell, this week in 88.
And actually, the very first link I ever did on Radio 1, my dad wrote out for me, bless him. And I'd like to say thanks to Radio 1 for the opportunity of a lifetime to do a job I loved, to go to places I never dreamed of visiting, to do things I would never have expected to be able to do, to meet people I would never normally have met, and to give me the chance to build a whole new career alongside that of being a DJ. Thanks to all those who I've worked for and alongside for your friendship, and finally, thanks to you, and I mean you, the people who listen, for your support. Without that support, there is no way that I'd have lasted 18 years in radio until today. Thank you and goodbye.
How lovely is that? Peter Powell, this week, 26 years ago, leaving Radio 1 after 11 years. This week, 52 years ago, the Pilkington Committee gathered in a wood-panelled room, no doubt. They were reviewing the future of broadcasting and asking whether any form of BBC local radio might play a part. An experiment had been conducted and their members gathered to review what it might sound like.
This is Radio Durham, your local BBC station. And this is Stanley Williamson. Good morning.
Radio Hull, your local BBC station.
Now, Bert Wilson in the radio car has already called this morning on our county medical officer, Dr. George Wilson, to talk to him about smallpox vaccination. Let's hear what he had to say. Are you there, Bert?
Yes.
Hello, Bert. What did Dr. Wilson tell you?
Well, when I went to see the doctor at his semi-detached house along Springwell Road, up here at the north end...
And now the programme for women. And here is Sheila Yeadon to introduce it.
Good morning. Today we have our weekly programme on food news. And here is Angela Beeching talking about the best buys in the Durham shops for this weekend. Hello.
Hello, Angela. Memories of what the Pilkington Committee might have heard, presumably just before deciding not to plough ahead with BBC local radio with any degree of urgency. One chap who was to make his mark on BBC local radio was born this week in 1958.
You may have seen the odd rumour that following Terry Wogan's decision to quit breakfast on Radio 2, and that Chris Evans was going to replace him, that I, so the rumour had it, was to replace Chris on Drive Time on Radio 2. Well, these rumours are 100% accurate.
Simon Mayo, happy 56th birthday. I'm not sure how many birthday cards there are designed specifically for 93-year-olds, but this chap should get quite a few.
Morning all, and www. Very warm Wednesday welcomes all round, you see. It's rather a hazy one down here in London, I'm afraid, but not to worry about all that. Ooh, that went in a hurry. Let's kick off this morning with the Archers. We will have a tiny touch of what? This. Sugar.
Jimmy Young, Radio 1, Radio 2, and The Light Programme as well, born this week in 1921, about the same time as the BBC itself. We heard recently the Pet Shop Boys cameo on The Archers on Radio 4, and that serial is no stranger to making headlines. This week in 1955, as a spoiler to the ITV launch, the death of a principal character.
Grace! Grace! Oh, my God! Grace! Where is she?
Well, she may have gone out through the tech room window.
No! She must have... There, look! Under that beam!
The death of Grace Archer this week in 1955. This week last year, regional DAB multiplexes started to close, paving the way for more use of the spectrum for local and national services.
If you can't figure it out, hit kerrangradio.co.uk/transmission and you'll find some helpful tips. Or just ask a young person. So go on, retune your radio now, otherwise you're going to hear the exact same message looping around and around and around and around and around and around.
Farewell to regional digital radio in the West Midlands, at least, this week last year. This week in 74, Cecilia Garnett transferred from radio's then regulator, the IBA, to commercial's then trade body, the AIRC, the Association of Independent Radio Contractors. So how did she feel the industry was shaping up in those early days?
What anybody looking at radio after its first year must be impressed with is the distinctiveness of the individual stations. They've all got their own problems. Clyde perhaps had fewer problems than other stations because there was a gap there waiting to be filled. Of course, they brought stereo to Scotland, which I think was very important.
Cecilia Garner speaking there about the first delicate year of UK commercial radio. And best bit in that, they're all distinctive, she says, because they've all got their own problems. It's well known that Teenage Kicks was one of John Peel's favourite tracks ever, and that's maybe why when it came out this week in 78, he played it twice.
I'll tell you what, you know, I've not done this for ages, but I think we ought to hear that again. Hold on a second, just talk among yourselves. Listen, when you listen to it this time, those of you who are familiar with the work of Loudon Wainwright, last time I played it, the pig said, that lead singer sounds like Loudon Wainwright at times. It may sound a bit fanciful, but listen to it again and see what you think. An excuse for playing it twice.
Rebellious John Peel playing the Undertones twice this week, 36 years ago. So, with Radio Luxembourg closing this week in 1939...
Good morning, everybody. This is Reginald Dixon broadcasting in the Cadbury programme.
The death of Trent and Ayres' Peter Tate this week, 12 years ago.
Radio Air with Peter Tate. You can call me Al if you like. That is Paul Simon.
South Coast Radio launching 23 years ago. Radio 106 East Midlands launching 17 years ago.
Maureen, my love, my bride, you must be straight. What's all this about 106? Oh. Have you put up the price of sugar or something?
Oh, Fred. I'm turning on a brand new radio station.
Oh.
And Spire FM launching 22 years ago.
Good morning. My name's Chris Carnegie, and on behalf of the directors, the staff, and the many friends of your new radio station, welcome for the very first time to Spire FM.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments!
Thank you, David Lloyd. More momentous memories on this podcast next week. Thanks also to the Radio Academy's Gloria Abramoff and to Roy Martin for the news. That concludes this Radio Today programme. Do stay in touch with us at radiotoday.co.uk. And next week, expect something quite different from our guest reporter, Helen Zaltzman. This has been a TDC production. Thanks for listening. Pip, pip.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.